Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 13, verse 4 and 5. We're going to read them together, and we're going to look at what this mouth of the beast is doing. We talked about the mouth last week and how a lot of times we got a mouth that ain't right. Revelation 13, verse 4, they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. They worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? He is irresistible. They don't have anybody that's ever been like him. They are comparing him with everything they've ever seen, with everything they've ever known. And who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. This mouth that speaks, first of all, we're going to deal with this idea of it speaking great things, which is consistent. We find here in Revelation 13 a consistency in the description of the beast, the Antichrist, with what we find in Daniel chapter 7. You remember in Daniel chapter 7, there was the beast, the fourth beast, that rose up out of the sea, dreadful and terrible. And here in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. I think this coincides with what we see in Revelation 13. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. It says the same thing here. This is the beauty of having a Bible that is the one interpretation of three unknown tongues. You have Hebrew and Aramaic in the Old Testament. You have Greek in the New Testament. Languages, tongues that you and I don't understand. We can't even read the writing of them, much less understand the language. Anybody who says, now I've surveyed the original Greek and Hebrew, and I think the original says this differently than... They don't know Greek and Hebrew. They had to go look it up in a concordance, and it's not that they have studied Greek so well all of their lives they can speak it. They can pick up a New Testament King James or a New Testament Greek New Testament and read it verse by verse in Greek and immediately give you the interpretation. They can't do that. They look words up. I know how it's done. I used to do it. I used to find some little obscure meaning of some Greek word and then make that the meaning of the verse. That way I'd come up with some new thing that nobody had ever heard of before. It was so full of pride back in those days. Whereas I have in my Bible, you have the book of Daniel written sometime around the Babylonian captivity. You have the book of Revelation written somewhere prior to AD 100, somewhere in the 90s. Separated by hundreds of years, and yet you have a consolidation of what they're saying in one interpretation of the Bible, the King James. So here in Revelation 13, the beast's mouth speaks great things. How it's translated in English. In Daniel chapter 7, this little horn has a mouth speaking great things. Same words. God wants you to be able to link them together. Seek ye out the book of the Lord. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. Daniel 7 mates with Revelation 13. And then in verse 20, the Bible says, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And so now he doesn't just speak great things, he speaks very great things. In other words, the word very means truly. Doesn't mean that what he's saying is true. It means very describes great, truly great things. This is also connected then. Revelation 13, Daniel 7, 8, and 20 is connected to what Peter and Jude, I like this, Peter and Jude wrote in two different documents a description of how to discern false teachers and false prophets and what they do. And the interesting thing is when you compare them, they're very identical in what they're saying. Now, this leads, you know, some scholars think, well, obviously Jude was reading Peter's document, and he just sort of transcribed it in his own words and blah, 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 blah. In other words, Jude really didn't really come up with anything. He just copied what Peter said. I don't believe that. I believe the Holy Ghost gave a similar testimony to both of those two men, just like in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They were designed by the Holy Ghost to be similar in their look, similar storylines, everything like that. You learn in Bible college, you learn all kinds of weird stuff in Bible college that they can never prove. That Matthew, Mark, and Luke were synoptic gospels, and this was one theory that's floated around, that they are synoptic. They have the same storyline because each one of them was taken from an original document that they called Q, the letter Q. And number one, the document doesn't exist. There's no museum, no archive anywhere where there is this document that was the original source of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The Q, and why they call it the Q document, I don't know, maybe they know. But that doesn't exist, and so that was their scholarly research. But anyway, Peter and Jude wrote how to identify the false teachers and the false prophets, both in their day, 1,000 years after their day, and even today, they wrote it. And notice there's something about the false teachers that matches the spirit of where their inspiration comes from. It's the spirit of Antichrist. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. You know what that is? They're going after church people. I have yet to see an evangelistic Hebrew roots group. They don't go door knocking trying to lead people to salvation. Seems like their direct target is those who are already in a church or of a religious system of some kind in Christianity. They target them to tell them that they're doing it all wrong. They're making disciples unto themselves. And that's what it says here. They allure through the lust of the flesh those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. They're going after supposed converts. But they use great swelling words of vanity. Think of this. Think of flatbread like a pita or tortilla. Or some other kind. Every culture in the world has a version of flatbread, with the exception of America. We had to borrow ours from Greece and from Mexico and every place else. But they all have a version of a flatbread that has no leaven in it, no yeast or no baking soda in it. That's the unleavened bread, the sincere word of God that we're to have. Leavened bread, it's the exact same amount of dough in it. It's just puffed up. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So what do? They speak great swelling words of vanity. They make you, it's like eating, when I was a child, eating the breakfast cereals that were available. Cocoa Puffs and Rice Krispies and all of those things that as an adult when I eat them, I used to do this. I used to eat a big bowl of cereal in the morning, some kind of puffed up cereal, and by 10:30, my blood sugar was dropped so low that I'm going, I gotta have something to eat. I was just be shaking all over. That's been years ago. I don't do that anymore. But Rice Krispies is just a little grain of rice that they make this big. Same thing with puffed wheat. I like puffed wheat. Same thing. Bread, that rises up. Same amount of dough as in flatbread, but it's all puffed up. They use great swelling words of vanity. That means they have leaven mixed in with their words. It makes it look real big. And they do this through, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. So this is how the false teachers speak. They have the spirit of Antichrist, and they have a mouth that speaks great things, great swelling words. Jude 1:16. Listen to how Jude said it. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. He says the same thing. Having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. So the spirit of Antichrist is in these false prophets, and they speak these great words, and they allure people, and they bring them in. And I want you to think about this. Let me read this, James 3:5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth, the exact phrase here, great things. It boasteth great things. So let's think about this. Let's take one of our false prophets here. Let's take Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland or any of these other guys. They boast great things. They are clouds without water. You know what the Bible says of that? He that boasteth of a false gift is like a cloud with no water in it. Okay, I'm kind of paraphrasing there. They boast of false gifts. Oh, I got the gift of tongues. And so Kenneth Copeland, Rodney Howard Brown, the Holy Ghost bartender, up on the stage talking to each other in tongues. They're putting on a show for everybody to show everybody how spiritual they are. And they're doing that so that they can draw people in and make disciples unto themselves. But they're boasting of false things. They don't have that gift. Oh, they might have a gift for making that up on the fly. They don't have the gift of unknown tongues. They don't. They talk about all the healings that have taken place. They talk about how they have the ability to heal diseases, and they heal this and they heal that, and they're going around healing everybody. As long as you happen to be the lucky one to show up where they're speaking, and you happen to be the lucky one that gets selected by the guys whose job it is to sort through people, anybody who obviously is in a wheelchair with withered legs and all that stuff, not a chance in the world are they going to make it up on that stage. But you take some old person that shows up in a wheelchair, or they give them a wheelchair. I've heard of that one too. They give them a wheelchair and they bring them up there. Now, I have back pain. I deal with back pain just about every day. You notice these people, they get up on the stage. Oh, I've got such pain in my back. Oh, listen. Oh, let me show you what God's going to do. Now, all of a sudden, now do this. Well, I can do that. Okay? I can do this. But it's fake. It's phony. If they really had the gift of healing, why don't these guys do hospital visits? You ever ask that question? Why don't they go from hospital room to hospital room, running those people out of those hospitals, saving them all that money? Why don't they do that? They're boasting great things, but they don't have it. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, I want you to think about it. Think about it. People believe them. People don't show up to a Joyce Myers concert because they were held at gunpoint. They don't show up there for that. They were not threatened that if they don't go, they're going to get killed. They were allured through the swelling words, the great things. The tongue actually has more ability than the sword does. The sword might make people get in line, but you can just use the tongue and you can talk them into getting in line, and they will. And so the tongue actually, I think, is more powerful than using weapons or using force. And this is how I see it. I've said this before. I don't think the false prophet is going to have to force anybody at gunpoint to go get a mark in the right hand or forehead. I think he's going to say just the right words to talk everybody into it. And that's what this, think of the effect that rock and roll music has had in our society, in our culture, around the world. Think of the words, the lyrics that have come out of these singers' mouths, the doctrines that they have taught subversively, and the things that they have said now have created and are creating a revolution. Started out with the Beatles, again to the Stones, AC/DC, now Lady Gaga, now some of these others that are bound to come on the scene. They're going to change the world. Katy Perry and others. They are changing the world. Here she is singing this song, "You're a Firework." What's it about? It's about you have the divine spark in you. Let it come out. That's nothing more than get ready and take the mark of the beast. And I think that all of these false prophets, both the speakers and the singers and the movie producers and the commercial writers and the TV show directors and everybody, all of these are part of a spirit of Antichrist. And they're using words to bring people to this paradigm shift. It's going on right now. So this, we read this last week where Herod opened his mouth, began to give this oration to everybody. And when he was done, everybody was convinced that a God had spoken through him to them. They were convinced that they were not man's words. They were the words of a God. And so it was a God, a spirit, that got them all worked up. Similar to when you read the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God does things in you that you cannot do yourself. When your mind and your emotions are contradictory to what God wants for your life, you read the Bible, and it goes against and works against what's in your mind and in your emotions. That's the power of the Word of God. Well, he's been given a similar word, and it has power. And he is going to use this mouth speaking great things, and it's going to cause everybody to say, well, who's like unto him? Who has ever spoken like he's spoken? You see, false prophets and false teachers, false preachers, false pastors who do not regard the Word of God, they can bring people to tears. They can bring people to their knees. They can bring people forward. I preached to a group of preachers last summer some troubling things that I see in preaching nowadays. Sermons that start out with a verse of Scripture. 45 minutes later, you've heard stories. You've heard ego, you've heard a lot of pride, there's been a lot of yelling and a lot of things said, but nobody's quoting any scripture after the, well, let's stand and read the Word of God. They read the Word of God, now we pray, and everybody sit down. The guy preaches for 45 minutes, and he's never quoting scripture ever again after that. And I ask the question, do we believe as Bible-believing pastors that anybody can be saved without the Word of God? And they all said, no, it has to be by the Word of God. Then I ask this question. Can we get people to come to the altar without the Word of God? You could have heard a pin drop. Sure, we can talk them into the altar. We can talk them down to the altar. We can talk them into just about anything without the Word of God. And we're just limited men. This beast is going to have a mouth speaking great things. Nobody's going to be able to resist it. Well, the true believers will. So anyway, let me just run through a couple things just so you can kind of understand the concept of what great things are. And you'll see generally great things ascribed to this is what God does. Now, I like this, okay? Because you're going to see over and over in these passages what great things God hath done. And they talk about God's performance of some miracle or his salvation. The Antichrist, I don't think he has talk of great things he's done. I think he just has a mouth that boasts great things. You see the difference? And in fact, let me read these to you. 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. In other words, Samuel says, think about not what you hope God will do or what God said he will do. Think about what he's already done. And they're great things. So we're not just boasting on things that God has never done. We're talking about the things that God has done. He saved me. He saved us. He died on a cross. He parted the Red Sea. He put Pharaoh underneath it. He let David fight a giant, Goliath. God has already done great things. But where's the beast been all this time? Well, he's been locked up in prison. And he gets out, and he's going to boast of all. He's like a politician. Let me tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Yeah, but what have you done? Nothing. Okay? A certain politician comes to mind that has never really done anything in his life, but he sure promised that he would do a lot of things. Anyway, that's the beast. He only talks about what he's boasting that he's going to do. Great things. But he hasn't done any of them. He's not going to either. It's just a lie. It's a setup. It's like Benny Hinn advertising, come get your healing. And then you show up and you don't get your healing. It's a joke. He boasted. He just can't produce it. 2 Samuel 7:23. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself and to make him a name and to do for you great things and terrible for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations their gods. Job 5:9, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. It's all about when God is ascribed with great things, he's already done it. And he does them. Job 9:10, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Job 37:5, God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. With God, it's doing. With the beast, it's just saying it. Big difference. 71:19, Psalm 71:19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Think about it. Here it is. He's boasting great things, and everybody's saying, oh, who's like unto the beast? Who can talk like this? Whereas with God, God has done great things. Who is like unto God? Whew. And you see the difference? With God, he's done it already. With the beast, he talks about it, but it never gets done. You know people like that, don't you? You might be one of them. You talk big, you don't do very much, haven't done very much. It's like giving a future employer a resume, and you always make it look big, don't you? It's a lot of leaven, makes the bread big. I got a 3-page resume here of things that I say about myself. What have you actually done? Not a whole lot. I went to 3 different universities. Did you learn anything? Did you graduate? No. But I went to them. Same thing. Okay? And it's convincing people that he's going to boast these great things. He hadn't done a thing, and he's not going to. Whereas with our God, it's not just talk. He does. He does. Not me. I've been around long enough. I've seen the talk by preachers and church members alike of how they boast. I remember I was doing a meeting in Alabama. And before the meeting, it was at a hotel meeting room. And before the meeting, there was this guy. I was just kind of making friends with everybody, chit-chat. And there was a guy going around the room, kind of looked like Elvis Presley. And he went around from group to group telling the same story. God gave me a vision of what happened on 9/11. I had it before it happened. I had clear vision. I saw everything that happened on 9/11. God gave me a vision of that. He goes around from group to group talking about how God gave him a vision and a dream beforehand of what happened September 11th, 2001. And the Holy Ghost is like, Mike, see who that is? See, look, watch him. And I did. I watched him. He just went from group to group. to group. Every time he'd see people talking, he'd get in that group and he'd tell about what he saw and what he did. And I'm just sitting there going, if you knew about this beforehand, why didn't you publish it? Or at least I would have been there at the Two Towers in Lower Manhattan with a bullhorn telling everybody, don't go in this building today. They probably wouldn't have listened to him, but at least they would have been warned. But he didn't do that. He was all puffed up with himself. You know what he was trying to do? He was in there trying to get people to think that God speaks to him and God shows him things beforehand. He's a great prophet of God. That's who he was. He was trying to draw in recruits to his ministry while he was there. And he was using my speaking night to do it. I didn't talk to him much. But that's what he did. He made up stuff about what God had showed him. He wanted himself to be seen as some big thing. No, I didn't fall for it. Psalm 106:21, they forget God their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Psalm 126:2, then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. He's already done them. Great things he hath taught us. Great things he hath done. Not just what God said, what he did. See, the Old Testament is full of what God did. And then you have the prophets who are declaring what God will do. And you have the New Testament showing this is what God did, that he promised that he would do. He fulfilled prophecy. And he's going to keep fulfilling prophecy. He's going to keep doing it. God has a track record that if he says it, it comes to pass. He's going to do it. Psalm 126:3, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Hosea 8:12, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. Joel 2:20, but I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him to a land barren and desolate with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea. And his stink shall come up and his ill savor shall come up because he hath done great things. Job 2:21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. See it? He has done great things, so don't be afraid. He will do great things. Think of it like this, an untested army recruit being put out on a secret mission where there is inherent danger. And he says, oh, I can do this. I can do this. I'm all about this. I trained on this. I learned about this in school. I don't think he can do it. You get a seasoned veteran. You get a seasoned warrior who's fought fights and survived them. And he's done this multiple times. That's who you send out. That's who you trust. Not the guy that talks the talk. The guy that's actually done it. That's who you get. Take your transmission to a place where they brag about they'd like to get started working on transmissions because they've heard a lot about it. And, oh, we can fix that. Oh, you ever fixed one before? Nah, but I can do this. Trust me. I'd rather take it to a place where I know that they fix transmissions. Been there. Mark 3:8, and from Jerusalem and from Idumea and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they heard what great things he did, came unto him. You see, Jesus drew people to himself upon what he did and what he said because they matched. The beast just has what he says. Mark 5:19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Great things he did. Mark 5:20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Luke 1:49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Luke 8:39, Here he says it again, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Again, we find a difference between God and the Antichrist. The Antichrist boasteth of great things. God's actually done them. Now, let me say this. Those of you who, there are people who will go and they'll brag about, you need to come to our worship revival center. At our Agape Worship Revival Center, boy, I'll tell you what, they're healing people all over the place. And there are people that are dead broke and they're becoming millionaires right at the meeting. And gold dust is falling down. And they brag about all these false things that God doesn't do. But they think that they're doing God a favor. Well, at least we got them in church. Yeah, at least we got them there. Yeah, but God doesn't produce what they said he's going to produce. And they walk out, and if that's their first and only interaction with Christianity, I wouldn't fall for it ever again. I wouldn't. And some of you were taken in exactly that way. These groups and these churches and these big revival centers with the fire boasted all these great things, and you fell for it for a while until you started saying, where's all the great things? Well, I thought they were supposed to be happening. Where is the great things? It's not happening when you bring it up. Somebody invariably is going to tell you, well, obviously you're not living right. That's why it hadn't happened for you. Because it's happened for us. I mean, hasn't it? We're getting it. Yeah, there's something wrong with you. That's why it's not happening for you. And you fell out and you said, you know what? That's a joke. I got an email just before I started doing this. A lady said she had been taken in by it. I don't know how many groups. She said, Pastor, I just found your videos the other day. And she said, I'm very skeptical. I'm going to write her back and say, good for you. But she's one that has had all kinds of things boasted to her. And all of them fell through. None of them came to pass. She doesn't trust anybody anymore. And I don't blame her. So I have a responsibility. It's a big one. But it's actually simple if you just do things God's way. Quote scripture. Give them the word of God. Give them massive verses, many, many verses. And let God do the talking. And when they see that you're about what God has done, rather than boasting about what he might do or what he will do that he's never going to do, those people will become disciples of the true Jesus Christ. Again, don't have a mouth like the beast. Don't go around boasting all of these stupid things to people, thinking that you're doing some great thing. Oh, well, look, I brought like 20 people into the church. Yeah? And when they figure out that this is a fraud, most of them will never walk into a church ever again. They won't even crack a Bible open. They'll say, you know what? I had it in the back of my mind that it was too good to be true. I found out it was. And that's on you. Anyway, don't be a beast. All right? Don't have the mouth of a beast. We'll get into the blasphemy thing next week. Man, I got 2.5 pages worth. I got 2.5 pages worth of blasphemy here. Study that in the Bible. Study what it is, okay, and you'll get understanding. All right, good to be with you today. God bless you. I hope that God I hope that you receive great things that God has already done. You know what that is? It's the cross. It's already done. You just go get it, all right? I love you. God bless you. See you next time. Bye-bye.